appreciate it. Amen. Isn't praise and worship fun? I mean, it should be. I grew up in a few churches where we slept during it. Anyway, praise God. Well, it's an honor to have new people here, as again, you'll see. Hopefully, when you came in, you got a visitor packet. If they didn't recognize, rodeos, a lot of times they give me a visitor packet when I come home. But it's an honor to have people that's never been here before. And so if you have never been here, and we want to thank you. We want to welcome you. Again, I believe that it's time that, I don't believe in cliques. I think when you come to church, you ought to be a part of the family no matter what. And so I love it when people get out of their seats and they sit somewhere else and I have to try to find them. If you've never been here before, would you allow us just to welcome you? All I need you to do, be bold enough, raise your hand, let us see you. Never been here before? Come on. Thank you, guys. Honor to have you. Thank you. Thank you, guys, a lot. Thank you for coming. Now, wait a minute. Did they not hand them out at the start? Some of them? If you didn't get a visitor packet and you want one right now, you need one. Matter of fact, it's like a law. If you don't have one, then raise your hand and they'll get you one right now. Did everybody get one? But inside that visitor packet, when y'all get one over here, inside that packet is a brochure. Well, it's not a brochure. It's like a visitor card, I guess. But I want you to pull out the brochure visitor card. You see how I kept that going. And I want you to fill it out, if you don't mind. It gives us a record that you came. Sweet Doris will call you or have someone, if she doesn't, and just welcome you. It's a good time right then to ask questions about our church if you don't know or if you want to know them. And if you need anything prayed about, we got a great prayer team, and they'll pray for you. So I want to thank Howdy Byers for preaching for me last week. Here he did a fantastic job, as normal. Also, this is a great time right now to clap our hands for tithes and offerings. Do it. As the guys pass out the offering envelopes, the reason that we do offering envelopes is because that gives you an opportunity to pray where you're going to give. And I think that's a good thing that we ask God, you know, what do we do with this tithe? And then he might say, hey, why don't you give an offering or something? And that's how you should know that money's not controlling you, that you're controlling it. A lot of times in the church, we get mixed up that the church is just trying to get money from us, when in all reality, God's actually trying to get it to you. And here's why I say that. In the book of Mark, if you have a Bible, in the book of Mark, I want you to turn to, is it just me that hears that feedback? Okay. He's probably fixing it. Sometimes it's just up here a lot of times where we'll hear some feedback because of a monitor, so I'm just making sure it wasn't. Look at Mark chapter 4. Now, for all you visitors, the reason that I teach on finances for about 5 minutes every single service, I tell our ministers that minister here, I want you to, it's because God's opened the door for me, since I don't take a salary here at our church, to in order to not take a salary, your heart better be in what you're doing. And my heart is in what God has called me to do. I don't do it for any other reason but to see people saved, healed, delivered, and set free. I don't do it for the money, but yet it takes it. So I have to believe God for it. Because Because if I make you mad, you might say, I ain't giving nothing to that boy. You stepped on my toe. Okay, so then that makes me have to trust the Lord. This church is not my provider. A business and a job is not our provider. God is the provider. And so when you start talking about His principles, you'll start learning that God actually wants you to have an abundance of money. He just doesn't want it to have you. He wants you out of debt. He wants you to be able to help people. He wants you to enjoy life. When you study this Bible, you'll find out that God's interested in you enjoying life, using finances wisely, and so on. So in the book of Mark, Jesus begins to teach about sowing and reaping. In verse 2, He said, and He taught them many things by parables. And He said unto them in His doctrine, hearken, this is in red now in the King James, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed that seed, it fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some of it fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprung up, because it had no depth. Now, you have to understand, look at me just for a second. A cowboy understands this. A farmer understands this because I'm constantly looking at the grass at my house. I started counting the cattle yesterday, and I went to one pasture, and there were, I think there were 14 head in one little area. And so I got to thinking, wait a minute, I'm missing one that's supposed to be in this with this group. And so I rode my horse out to the back, and I went across the first big trap, and I went into the second, and I saw all of them out there, and I saw there's 8 calves, small calves. One has a mama, the other, some of the calves that were roping that Gordon and them sent to us. And so I started counting them, and I've noticed that there's one missing, one calf. There's supposed to be 10, but now there's supposed to be 8 because I took 2 to the sale, and I sold 2, so that 10 minus 2. Come on, class. But there wasn't 8, there was 7. So a little old motley-faced calf, that's a white-faced black calf, is not there. And so I'm hunting him. Well, he's been missing for a couple of weeks, though, and Dalton that works for us got the drone out. I got a drone a few years ago, and now I finally figured out what to do with it. Oh, that's the neatest thing. And he went over into the neighbor's pasture and was looking around and found some cattle. But the thing is I'm constantly looking and counting animals. There were about 15 or 20 right there. But I'm looking at that grass, though. And I'm noticing that it's yellow, a little bit of green on the bottom side. And our grass is about this tall out there for those cattle. So it's looking really good. So I'm watching these kind of things. And here Jesus is teaching a parable about ground. About ground. And He again says, and some of this seed fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprung up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, what's it supposed to be today, about 103? When the sun came up, it was scorched because it had no root and it withered away. Some of it fell in some thorns. There was some thorny things that cost me about $600 a couple of days ago. But it was a porcupine. That got into 2 dogs. I didn't have time to pull them out myself, give them a little ace or whatever. So I took them to the vet, and that cost me $600. So anyway, after the service, we'll take up a special offering for them. I'm kidding, of course. People said I knew it. But some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground. Now here's where I'm going real fast. Because when you sow a seed, it needs to be in good ground. I'm telling you, this church is good ground. We do everything here debt-free. These buildings, that kids' church, man, they told me to tell you today that the insulation's in, and where's Steve? If Steve would get his rear back in there and finish. That's what they told me. One little deal. I don't know what it is because I'm not used to it. He said, then we're going to sheetrock and get it going. So, yeah, Steve, everybody's looking at you right now. He's in the orange, y'all. And so, oh, thank God for him. Oh, Jesus. He saved us, oh, during that rodeo. Listen to me. Thank God that we can sow seed and it can go into doing things here debt-free. And I don't have to borrow a couple of million dollars to build this facility. And we've done it all by us trusting in God. But listen, here's what happens when you sow on the good ground. It did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought some, look here, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, let them have ears to hear. Here's the deal. Don't let money control you. Man, that's why God started the tithe. Because he knew that one thing, money, it's not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. God wants you to have an abundance of it. It's to spread the gospel. It's what helps the church get the missions out and so on. So when you give into that bucket and into that bucket, I want you to do it by faith. I want you to do it with the right heart. If you don't have the right heart, then don't give. I want you to do it because God has showed you things about sowing and reaping here in the Bible. Amen? And so come give with a big old shout of praise. We bring it up here and stick it in these buckets. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be good today. Let me get ready. We're about to dismiss the kids and the youth group. I hadn't been dismissing the youth group until last week when our youth pastor said it's time. And I said, okay, I agree. Let's let the youth go after the music. And so I think it's a good thing to know that our kids can go get taught the Word of God around each other. Good job, girls. Give them a hand, y'all. And then it's a good thing that the youth get to be in some groups. And by the way, man, I can't wait till that kids' church. They'll be, when you go out the doors here and you go straight back, there's just a wall, but we'll cut it out. Joe Eddie will cut it out, and that's where the kids will go. Right now, they got to go towards the arena, and the youth goes, I think the outside, I don't know, where's the youth go? Oh, you go in the top of the announcer stand. And so, anyway, so let's do that. With a big old round of applause, our youth group and our kids' church are dismissed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now get ready, y'all, because it's fixing to get fun. How many of you brought your Bibles? Let me see all the Bibles. Just hold them up. All the Bibles. Okay, I'm going to primarily preach through this section because, well, the first two rows do, but everybody gets their phone out. I want you to say this with me right now, and I want you to say it by faith. Say, I am a doer of the Word. Say it again. I'm a doer of the Word of God. Say it with some meaning. I am a doer of the Word of God. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. And I want to be honest with you. In all the years of ministry, I probably have not preached out of Revelations less than a handful of times, if that. I mean, I've quoted some scriptures out there, out of revelations like, you know, the word of your testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and things that are in Revelations. I understand about Revelations, and I believe, though, it's time to start dabbling into some things as the Lord leads that might be in Revelations. And so, I want to do that right now. Revelations chapter 2. And we're going to just start reading in 18, and then I'll start talking to you and telling you what this message is going to be about. Now, obviously, Jesus is talking because it's in red. Verse 18 of chapter 2 of Revelation says, "And unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto fire, unto a flame of fire," and thank God we're going to see that one day, "and his feet are like fine brass. Jesus says this, I know thy works." Look at me, everybody. When Jesus is talking to this particular church, he's also talking to you and I. Always keep that in mind when you read the Bible, that he's talking to you individually. Okay? So he says, I know your works. I know your charity and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, this is crazy right here, I have a few things against thee. Now, what if Jesus said that directly to you, which he is here in this church, but he could be saying it to some of us. Let's just find out. He says, I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest. Underline that word sufferest. I'll help you understand it. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess. How many of you know just because you call yourself something doesn't mean you are that? Okay. Which calls herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space, Jesus said, to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, when you go back up here into verse 20, and you see it says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. That word suffereth literally means to allow or to permit or to tolerate. So here Jesus is trying to teach us something. If I titled this message, it would be the tricks and the deception of the devil. Because he's trying to do that today. Matter of fact, he's trying to do it in churches. He's trying to do it in our country. He's done a pretty good job of it because I know a lot of churches that are not meeting today. There's fear like you've never seen. And those pastors, most of y'all know when I was on all the conference calls with the judges and these ministers, all of them knew that we were holding a parking lot service, which was one of the only ones in this area doing that. And they began to ask the judge if that was okay for them. And, you know, he's the one that gave us permission, by the way, but he was not promoting it in amongst this call to so many ministers. And I just sat quietly because they had mentioned that the Cowboy Church was having a big parking lot service. And by the way, most of y'all that came, we never had under 104 cars. I mean, it increased every single time. Matter of fact, that's the reason that our church has grown, is because people needed some place to go and hear about a God that will not forsake them and will not leave them and will protect them. So Jesus is saying, look, I've got a few things against you. Because you allowed, or you permitted, or you suffered, you tolerated this woman, Jezebel, coming into your church and destroying things. Now, thank God there's not a Jezebel spirit in this church. But the message is so good that I believe God wants to get it out to all His people, especially in the days that we're living in. Because I'm thoroughly convinced that most of the church does not understand the authority that they walk in. But you're going to learn it today. And you're going to receive it by faith. Because it's time that God's people take the authority that God gave them. And if we'll do that, we'll see our country get back right. And we won't keep seeing it go further away from God. Because we're seeing that right now. Again, as I told you earlier, I'm okay with wearing a mask if the business tells you to, because they have that right. But I'm definitely against the government telling us we have to wear them. And thank God for Texas, and only Texas, because this is one of the only states where the church is not being controlled as much. Now, you get up in some of the counties and, ooh, Jesus, I pastor lots of pastors, and a lot of them are telling me in different parts of Texas and San Antonio even, and Dallas area, that, man, they're getting fought like you've never seen. They're getting, I don't get on all those social media stuff, but every now and then I have to look at one. You want to talk about nasty and the division? Well, that's what the devil wants. He's wanting the church to be in such division that's how then he can stop the power. That's why, you know, I believe God's growing us in such a way is because I will not, as the pastor of this church, allow fear to take over the flock. We're going to keep preaching faith. That's why I say open those schools up. Get them, I mean, I have to deal more in the mental health of people because those kids are at home. I got two of them. I hear a few amens.
Oh, preach it, brother.
But it can't be done in fear. We have to continue to preach faith, and that's what the church does. So listen to this message with all your heart. I ask you to open up your heart, because I'm going to probably say some things this morning that might freak you out a little bit. And I'm okay with freaking people out. I'm okay with you going, oh, wow, I've never heard that, because really, you're going to see some things that I've been seeing, because I see a couple of things here today, and even in some of these messages, and we need to start talking about them because the church has to maintain the power and the authority that God gave us. And here Jesus is getting onto a church because they permitted something to remain and happen in this church that devastated this church. And I know it's about this woman Jezebel, who's calling herself a prophetess. But God's saying this morning, it's time to take back that authority. And when you take back that authority in the church and in your home and in your marriage, then you'll stop seeing a lot of the junk that's happening in marriages today. Did you know that even in the church, that the divorce rate is as high as the world? And that shouldn't be, because the church is the one that's supposed to be preaching reconciliation and forgiveness and communication and, you know, submitting and things like that. But boy, that, now if you've been through that, thank God you are through it. But we got to get through these kind of things so that we don't allow the church to continue to not be the one that people are looking at that is not without spot or wrinkle. No, we've got to be a church that they see us, and I want to be like that man. I want to be like that couple because, yeah, they went through a tough time, but they survived in Jesus' name. And man, if we start preaching these kind of things, that you've got the authority. You've got the authority to speak to the mountain and the mountain to be cast into the sea. But if you don't take that authority, then that mountain's going to be way bigger than you. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is trying to tell these people, this church, He's trying to say, man, take a hold of the power that God has given you and the authority, and don't let something come in there like a spirit. By the way, this COVID-19 is a spirit. You realize that? We were talking earlier, and Ricky was telling me about some medical people. Y'all have heard it from my family. My dad, all my dad's side are medical people, so I hear the same thing that he told me this morning. How all these tests are coming back positive when they're not positive. Matter of fact, 6 new nurses had to take the test. They took it, and all of them come back as they positive having COVID-19. They redid the test, and matter of fact, they sent the test without swabbing anything and sent it in, and it still came back positive. 6,000 in Dallas, my sister-in-law or my niece said, came back positive. I mean, they're having negative and positive results like you've never seen. The thing is, as a matter of fact, then Ricky told me that they got them and opened them up and shut them back, didn't swab, didn't do anything, and they're all coming back negative. Here's why. Because this spirit, this COVID-19, is a devil spirit that's trying to destroy. And you and I have to stand up against that. And I believe that's probably why God has given me this message. So let's go on. I see a couple of things happening. And here they are. Number one, what you do for the Lord does not go unnoticed. And number two, Jesus wants us to take authority. There's been times in the birth of this church 16 years ago that I've literally had to take authority over this church being attacked. I mean, it was attacked in the early years of this ministry. Matter of fact, I don't know how many rumors came up about me, that the church bought all my horses. This church bought my home. I wish it did. I really do. One time they said that this was a beer drinking church. You just come here and drink some beer. I mean, there's all kinds of attacks going on. I remember a group had a meeting with me, and I mean, you want to talk about ring me up with questions. Who owns this? Who owns that? And it was when we were just building this building. And on the majority of the stuff, I said, you're looking at it. Because I bought that track loader to move the ground here, personal money. I bought the dump truck. Church couldn't afford it. We were brand new. So there's always attacks and the enemy trying to stop what's going on. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus wants us to take this authority. And what we do for the Lord will not go unnoticed. When bad things happen, a lot of times we ask God, why is this happening? And a lot of times they're doing it right now. Why is this happening right now? I've heard things like, why don't you stop it, Lord? Why don't you do something? Is God responsible, in other words? Now, let me tell you a story, and this message is really going to start meaning something to you because it's a story about Brother Kenneth Hagin. He was ministering at a church. He went home. In those days, you stayed with the pastor. And he was sitting at the dinner table at his pastor's house, or at this pastor's house, and the kid needed to go to bed. And so they got off and knelt down to pray. And The Spirit of God came in a vision to Brother Kenneth Hagin. It lasted an hour and a half in this man's home, right under his dining room table as they're praying. And Brother Kenneth said that the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, man, came and said, "Hey, I want to teach you some things about the deception of the enemy." And so, Brother Kenneth, in this vision, and it doesn't matter if you don't believe in visions, but I do. I mean, God, He speaks to us in all kinds of awesome ways. And a lot of times when we'll get down on our knees, God will just begin to show us some things. And He began to reveal some things to Brother Kenneth Hagin. And I was listening to Keith Moore talk about this a couple of days ago. But it hit home to me because he said that Brother Kenneth said that Jesus was talking there, and then all of a sudden this creature, this obviously had to be a demon. It was like a puff of smoke, and it came in between Jesus, the head of the church, and Brother Kenneth Hagin, and he was just flopping his arms and screaming, and the way that Brother Hagin said is it was as if he was just saying yakety 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 yak. And it was loud, and he was just flailing around his arms and his legs. But what Kenneth noticed is that Jesus was still talking, but he couldn't understand him. He couldn't figure out what he was saying, and he just continued to minister. And in Brother Hagin's mind, he thought, why isn't Jesus doing something about this? And that thing just kept going, and he would look at Jesus, and Jesus was just still ministering to him and talking, but he couldn't hear him. He couldn't tell what he was saying. And finally, Brother Hagin got upset enough that he said, "Shut up! Get down!" And he said that thing just fell down and was like quivering on the ground as if someone hit it. And then he could hear Jesus. And Jesus was just still talking in this vision. And how many of you know that Jesus knows your thoughts? He knows what you're thinking right now. So think about it. What had Brother Hagin just said? He just said, "Why didn't you do something? Why won't you do something about this?" And so he asked him, he said, "Jesus, why didn't you do something about this?" And Jesus said, "I couldn't." Brother Hagin said, "What'd you say? Did you say if I hadn't have done something about this that you wouldn't?" He said, "No, that's not what I said." He said, "If you hadn't have done something about that, I couldn't." Brother Hagin said, he looked at Jesus and he said, "I've read this New Testament over 150 times. Some of it more than that." He said, "I've never seen or heard anything like that. If I hadn't have done something about this thing flailing around, you couldn't?" He said, this is the funniest part, because he said, "I'm not going to receive that unless you give me three witnesses." Now think about that for a minute. You're talking about the head of the church. Some might be saying, "Well, that was pretty rude." Well, God showed Brother Kenneth Hagin, because he wasn't going to just believe something over a vision. He wanted to see the proof of the Word of God. I don't know about y'all, but I think that's pretty remarkable, because that's a lot of times how the devil deceives us, because the devil knows the Bible forwards and backwards. Matter of fact, he knows it better than most preachers. So he's got a way of deceiving in a lot of ways. And so he said, "What do you mean by if I hadn't have done something about that, you couldn't have?" He said, "I tell you what, you want three examples?" He said, "I'll do it better. I'll do you one better. I'll give you four." Because see, that's what we're fixing to show you. Now here's where we're going with this message, because there's a saying that most people have. Don't throw anything at me now. that most of the church believes, and I'm here to tell you, it's a doctrine of devils. And this is the saying, that God is in control. And most of the church believes that. Matter of fact, they've said it. Well, you know, God's in control. Oh, really? Let's see what the Word of God says about that, because God began to show some examples in the Word of God where He is not in control. Now, don't get me wrong, y'all, because I'm okay with people saying, and it might be how people actually mean it, because I'm okay with people saying, you know, God is the Almighty, because He is. I'm okay with people saying God knows the end from the beginning, and all of His prophecies and what He has said will come to pass with or without us. Because He can use us, but if we don't do what He says to do, He'll use someone else to do it. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with someone saying God is all-knowing, because He is. But is He really in control? Or is He like this church that He's ministering to, that you suffered this woman to do some bad things? You permitted it. You allowed it. You tolerated it. When you in your own life should have took authority. Because God is not in control of our thought life. If He was, then we wouldn't have a bad thought ever. There is a devil that steals, kills, and destroys. And God gets the blame for a lot of things because people say, well, He's in control. I'm not going to go to another one like, you know, just... Well, I'm not going there. It was so close. Did y'all see it almost come out? But no, I'm not going to go there. I'm sorry, Lord. If He was in control of everyone's decisions, then we would never make a bad decision. But yet, the church is convinced that God's in control of everything. Well, if He is, then He's to blame for everything. He's to blame for that Hurricane Rita that killed a whole lot of people in Louisiana. But our God is not to blame for it, because there's a devil that steals, kills, and destroys. So if God's... Now, I'm not saying God's not all-knowing. Don't get me wrong. Don't you go on Facebook and say, that preacher said God's not in control. Actually, He's given the control to you and I to speak His Word. All right? Let's just go to some words here so we can get some backing, because I don't like anything said, just like Brother Kenneth Hagin, if there ain't no backing in the Word of God. And I'm not talking one scripture that you can turn into a doctrine. I mean, that's why women can't do anything in the church, because the Apostle Paul's getting onto the one church at Corinth. And they're bickering and fighting. The women are sitting on one side, the men, their husbands or whatever, on the other side. And the women are constantly disrupting the service as the Apostle Paul is preaching, trying to yell at their husbands, Harold, what does he mean by that? And finally, the Apostle Paul had to take authority and said, women are to be silent in the church. Well, that started a whole doctrine right there. Oh, man. Whoo! I've gotten call after call about a woman being the youth pastor, a woman being a pastor. Oh, man, and it's messed up a lot of people. Well, I want to tell you right now that a woman was the first evangelist. When Jesus told Mary to go and tell my people, I'm coming again. Okay, I'm not talking about someone taking one scripture and then twisting it into a doctrine. All through the Word of God, it needs to back up the whole, from the Revelations to back to Genesis, needs to back up each other. And so, is God really, honestly, controlling everything here? Or has He given us the Word, a way of escaping things? Does He say, you speak to the mountain? Or does He say, no, I'll just tend to it. I'll speak it. Because if things don't go right, guess who gets the blame? Why'd God allow that? I've heard it many, and I've said it myself. Why would God allow that to happen? And here's why. I heard a story about some kids. They were children, and people abused those children in the name of God. And I watched it on TV. I'm talking some horrific things were done to these children in the name of God. And when I was listening to it, I'll never forget thinking, why wouldn't you stop that, sir? Why in the world would you allow that to happen? And God said again, because I couldn't. Now look here. I want to show you something that I don't want to skip over, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I want to show you something real fast in this Bible. God is all-knowing. He knows the end from the beginning. Oh, man, this message can go in so many different ways. Mark chapter 6. Now, here's one way the Spirit of God is just bringing to my mind is old people. All you gray hair folks, look at me. I didn't say... I did say it that God. I take that. I just reverse that. Turn that camera off and just reverse it for a second. I shouldn't have said old. All you older people. Okay? Because you're... All you gray-haired folk, older people. How many of you have had these thoughts in your mind when you get old? Because I'm just going through it being 51. I'm starting to go through these things right now. When there's a little pain, the enemy immediately says, uh-oh, that's it for you, brother. Cancer. I mean, all these things start coming to the older people's mind. But here's one thing that I started thinking about it. How many of you thought about death and what's going to happen at death and said things like, well, I hope I don't suffer. I'd just rather die in my sleep. But then there's that little seed thought of, man, I don't want to die like grandmama died. Here's why people, they don't know what the Bible says. The Bible says that we have power in our tongue over life and death. We have been convinced by the world, and the church just got a hold of it, that we have to die sick. Do you realize that we don't have to die sick? We can die when we say. I'll never forget that a true story of that old lady that went to her pastor and says, hey, why do I keep living? I mean, she was old. She wanted to go home. She asked her pastor, why am I still here and why do I keep living? And he said, that's why. She said, what? Well, I'm just asking, why am I still living? I'm ready to go home, but I just keep living. I mean, nothing's wrong with me. I just keep living. And why do I keep living? He said, that's why. He said, because that's what you believe. If you're ready to go home, just tell the Lord. I'm ready to go home, sir. Because you're confessing, you want to keep, that you're just keep living. That's all you're confessing. If you want to go home. So she got this revelation from her pastor. So she gathered her family around and said, hey guys, I just wanted to let y'all know that I'm going to go ahead and go home to be with the Lord on Thursday at noon. It's a true story. And of course, you can understand the family. Mama's lost it. She had dementia, old Alzheimer's, something that's got her. She said, no, my mind is great. I just got a revelation that I have the power in my tongue over life and over death, and I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord. Guess what happened? On Thursday at noon, before it, she had cooked her favorite meal. She sat down in her recliner, and at noon, she went to be with the Lord. You see, people are like, I can't believe that would happen. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. Man, why don't we start getting a hold of this Word of God? Look here in Mark chapter 6 real fast. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. You remember when Jesus said, if you hadn't have done something about that, I couldn't. Look at what happened here. And he could there do no mighty works. This is talking about Jesus who was in his hometown. He was in his hometown, and this is what he said. And he could there do no mighty work save that he had laid hands on a few sick folk and healed them. In other words, and you go on and read it, it talks about his hometown had a bunch of unbelief. And he's saying, I could. That's why I use that word could. I could there do no mighty work in his own hometown because of a lack of belief. Now, real fast as I begin to close this message up, you remember when Jesus gave him the four examples? I want to give these four examples to you right now, and then we'll close this message. Because here's what God's wanting to teach you and I, is that it's time for us to take the authority in Jesus' name. Stop playing church. Stop allowing the devil to tell you, yeah, but you don't know any scripture. It doesn't matter if you know any scripture. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If he's the Lord of your life, you have authority over the devil. You have authority over his deceptive ways. And here's the examples that the Spirit of God gave him. Because again, if you believe that God's the only one in control, then you really don't have to do anything in the kingdom of God except just living for him. But when you take the authority and control, as the Word of God says here, I'm telling you, that's when you live in the victory of God in Jesus' name. So turn real fast to Matthew chapter 28. Let's just look at it. And I'm going to go fast. Matthew 28. If you don't want to go fast with me, then write it down and go back to it. Matthew 28 and look at verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay? So the power's in Jesus. But look at the next verse. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Did you notice he said, you go? You are going to have to be the one that goes. Not the preacher. All of us. I don't have time to go to the hospital and pray over everybody. Ephesians tells me to teach the saints the ministry of the gospel. The ministry is you go and lay hands on the sick. It's up to you to go do it. He gave that revelation to Brother Kenneth Hagin because we've all thought, why didn't you do it, God? Why didn't you do it, sir? Jesus, why didn't you do it? You lived here for 33.5 years. Why aren't you controlling things right now? Well, it's because Jesus is not here any longer. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for you and I. So now he's trying to teach us, you go do it. You go. All right, look at Mark 16. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on, y'all don't be mad at me now. It's time we stop blaming God for everything as if God's going to do it. No, he's already done it. He's not going to send Jesus again. All right, look at this. Mark chapter 16. This is why I want you to bring your Bible to church. Because you need to see this for yourself. All right, look at verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that what? Say it louder. That what? These signs shall follow them that believe. You've got to be a believer of the Word of God. It says, in my name, they cast out devils. They, underline that word they, because that's you and I. They speak with new tongues. They take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, it's up to you to go. Up to us to go lay hands on the sick. I mean, we can spit on them all we want, but if we don't believe, we can anoint them with oil. We can pour just straight 30 weight oil on them. But if we're not believing, and we aren't doing it, that's why it can't just be the preacher doing everything. I don't have time. But man, when you do it, ooh, Jesus. Look at this. There's an example. You go lay hands on the sick because God's already done it. Just do it in Jesus' name. What about Philippians 4:13? Everybody knows it, right? I can do all things through Christ. Say it with me. I can do, say it again. I can, say it one more time. Did you get it? I can do all things, don't forget this part, through Christ. Because Christ is the foundation of everything we are. Jesus is it. Not a church, not a denomination, not a preacher. Jesus. But you notice it says I. I just threw that one in because it's not on my list. Okay? Here, this is on my list. Go to Ephesians. Just to your right. Ephesians chapter 4, real fast. Because what we're doing here is we're getting the Word of God so that you and I are not like this church where Jesus is getting on to them. I've got some things against you. I've got some things against you, church. And you know, when you study out the book of Revelations, you'll notice that he's trying to minister to all these churches. But here's one that he's saying, man, I got some things against you. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I apologize. No, sir. He said, because you allowed it. And that's what the church is doing right now. That's why our country is going the opposite direction of how it was founded. I'm telling you kids, I told Dalton and London, the minute you turn 18, you go get registered to vote, because that's how we do it in America. We go vote these people out that are ungodly. It's amazing that a lot of the church does not vote. Did you realize there's 80 million of us? Ephesians 4. Look at this. Here's another example of what Jesus was trying to teach. Verse 27, look at this. It says, neither give place to the devil. Is that saying that God's just going to keep the devil out of your business? Or is it up to you to not give place to the devil? Okay, let's look at one more. James chapter 4. That's to your right. James chapter 4. Now again, don't get all upset because we've always thought that God's in control. No, 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 no. He knows the end from the beginning. He's all-knowing. He cannot make you. Well, I almost got too fast here. Watch this. James 4 and 7. Submit. Say that word. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Say this next word. Resist. Say it louder. Resist the devil, and he will flee. There's two things that I want you to understand. You need to get a hold of this. Two things that you desperately need to understand. The first one is God cannot receive for us. He can't receive for us, y'all. If he could, then we would all receive Jesus. And do you realize there's billions of people that will not receive Jesus? God can't receive for us. And he also can't resist for us. God cannot resist the devil for us. You've got to do it. You see, you've got to do it. You've got to resist him. You see, God keeps getting the blame for everything. I'll never forget having to correct pastor after pastor that said, well, it was God's judgment on, because Mardi Gras and Bourbon Street is a wild, wild place. And it was God's judgment. Well, wait a minute. Did y'all remember the story? Bourbon Street was open that night. So God didn't do a very good job if he was trying to shut down something. No, God's trying to get you to shut it down. Just not. Oh, Jesus. I want to get in trouble for this one. Y'all seen all these protests, right? And I haven't seen but a couple of protests that were peaceful. I mean, there might be some I don't know about, but the ones you see on TV are not peaceful. The church does not go and start protesting where it becomes unpeaceful. The church gets on our knees and we start lifting up this country to the Father. Listen to me. I think the reason that our church and our ministry has been so blessed is because God's using the Western world. He's using the cowboy type people. You know why? Because we're still bold. You probably won't hear a message like this at most churches because they don't want to upset anybody. I saw where Murdoch had got a cease and desist notice. Mike Murdoch. Wow. A minister of the gospel. Is it Womack?
Andrew Womack.
I was just like, wow. It's for ministering the gospel. Why? Because there's a spirit, and God's trying to birth something right now in His kids. We're going through a lot of things right now, y'all. I mean, if I did testimonies, I could probably find a lot of things that y'all are going through right now. But I'm here to tell you it's time that we stop playing church and we start living as the church. This building is going to burn up one day. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to live an everlasting life. I don't have time to go into the very last scriptures, but you need to start studying about binding and loosing. Because when you start, the Bible says, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And that word bind is literally binding, tying something up. Well, it's time to tie up the devil from destroying your lives. He destroys kids' lives through drugs and alcohol. He ruins marriages. He ruins relationships. He ruins finances and businesses. He's ruining health in people's lives. And it's time that we take the authority. It's up to you and I. We can't say, God, you're in control. You just do it. No, He's not in control in that way. You and I are. You and I are supposed to take this word and use everything in this word in the name that's above every name. And if you and I don't do it, then it's not going to be done. And we're going to continue to see victims over and over and over. So if a little cowboy preacher gets fired up and yells a little bit, why don't you get fired up and stop allowing the devil to destroy your life? Come on now. Stop playing church. I mean, we've sat in enough of those churches that are dead. My family's butt imprints were in the front row on most of them. Matter of fact, Mom and Dad would allow us boys to sleep in a lot of them. But I'm here to tell you, it's time that we get up and start doing something in the name of Jesus. Not on our own. We don't do things on our own. We do it in the name of Jesus. And we've got to take this authority back, or our country is going to continue. Listen to me. I know we constantly say we know the end of the book and we win. And that's the truth. We win no matter what. But God does not want us to lay down and allow the country to get worse and worse and worse. And I'm just here to tell you, I told a lot of pastors, I was going to tell my church, you don't be afraid to go get some ammo. And I'm not talking getting in fear. But I'm here to tell you, you protect your family. I say that in faith. I say that under the unction of the Spirit of God. If you don't know how to shoot a gun, you go learn. If you're a woman, you go learn how to shoot a gun. And when you shoot, they will teach you to shoot in center mass. It drops them. Because I'm here to tell you, the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he uses people. All right, I can keep preaching for a long time. And oh, my Lord, it's 3 minutes after. My. Okay, well, I'm smarter than that. I want you to come back. Please don't get mad at me. Get mad at God if you're going to get mad at anything, and I wouldn't get mad at Him if it was me. you men, I'm very proud of you, because I believe God is bringing that back, men that are the head. Men that are the head of their families. Ones that are saying, not the woman, the women are having to become the men, and it's not right. I'm talking not control. I'm saying men that would be saying, hey, it's time. That's what I'm teaching Dalton. I said, if you marry my daughter, she is not going to be the head of this family spiritually. You are. Amen. Do you hear me? You hear me, son? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Because it's time we teach men. I mean, the women have had to do too much. And they've had to be the man and the woman. And men, it's time to be men. I'm so proud of you. But it's time that we take our rightful role. I know we're the provider and all those kind of things. But spiritually speaking, you're the one. You're the one that keeps your family together. And the woman has done it way too much. And they've got way too much responsibility. And lots of pressure. It's time we get into our rightful roles and start living the right way. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that I just pray that we're not a wimpy church. That we're a church that has power. And I know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the spiritual principalities of darkness. Wicked things, gosh. And Father, this is serious to you. Our rights are being taken away from us right now like we've never seen. Who would have thought that a church would be told not to meet? Would be told that we can only have 10 people and we have to be separated. We can't touch or shake hands or hug because of a virus. What? A virus. The Bible says, sir, in Psalms 91, that no sickness or disease shall come near our bodies. No plague come near our dwelling. And a virus is a plague. So, Father, I'm asking you to put on the hearts of the people to receive your word, that they have authority and power over all of sin and darkness. And they got to take it. And we can't just be the church that lays down and gets run over. That we've got to be the church that loves people right in the midst of the battle. So, Father, thank you for helping us. Not in fear, not in anger. We don't get in anger. You said we can be angry, but sin not. We're not talking about a sinful anger, sir. I'm asking you to put it on the hearts of all these people and the sound of my voice, the ones that are here and the ones that are watching us live, that they take authority over the devil in their families, their marriages, and their children, and their businesses, and in their health. And Father, you're going to get glory. We're going to give you all the praise and honor. We're not doing this on our own. We're doing everything in the name that's above every name. Jesus. Jesus. Say that word, Jesus. Jesus. Glory be to God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus, he's the Son of God. Oh man, what a wonderful Savior. He was here 33 and a half years, y'all. He healed the sick, raised the dead. He did some incredible things. But, as y'all know, he was crucified. But he was raised from the dead that third day. Glory be to God for that. And the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's praying for all of us. The Bible uses this word called interceding. Man, that's some deep things of prayer. He's interceding for us. You can play church all you want to, but I would ask you, matter of fact, I would beg you not to do that. Don't play church. You are the church. You're it. And God needs you to stand strong like a good soldier in these last days. We're not cowing down. We're not preaching fear. We're preaching faith. It's time for the church, God's people, to stand up and do something in the kingdom of God. That devil doesn't have to destroy anyone's lives. He doesn't have to rob anyone from getting and receiving salvation. So if you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus, I want you to pray a prayer with me. I'm talking about if you died and left this earth and you stood before God. And that's what the Bible says will happen to us all. Individually, we'll stand before God. What's He going to say? If you invite Jesus into your life, this is Romans 10 and 9, John 14. All through the Word of God talks about salvation. But if you'll confess with your mouth, according to Romans 10 and 9, and believe that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. When you stand before God, He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on into heaven. Enter into the rest or the joy of the Lord." I don't want Him to say the second part about hell. Did you know hell was not made for you? It was not made for a human. It was made for Satan and his demons that thought they were God and got kicked out of heaven. But Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Now we have to receive a Savior in order to get to the Father. That's John 14. So I want you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. But if you don't, you decide you don't want to. Remember, God's not in control of your decision. You can say yes to Him and you can say no to Him. Please don't say no, because if you do, He has to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." I don't want anybody going to hell. I'm telling you, if you study it out, it's bad, 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 bad place. Oh, I want you to go to heaven. So what we're going to do is, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know what would happen to you if you stood in front of God. You don't know if He would say heaven or if He would say hell. Now, by the way, it's not God sending you there. You have to send yourself there by not receiving Him. So that's why He's not in control of your decisions. You are. So please choose Him. We're going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to ask everybody in this church to pray this prayer with me, even believers. But if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, pray this prayer. We're going to pray Romans 10, 9. We're going to ask Jesus to come into our lives. You ready? If you're watching live, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now by praying this prayer. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, "Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe You have been raised from the dead, Jesus. And I'm coming to heaven because You're now my Lord. You're now my Savior. You're now my friend. And I need You in my life. I pray this prayer to You, the Father, in Jesus' name." Now, no one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up and say, "That was me." I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus. When I say three, get that hand up. And you're saying, "God, I meant that prayer. I'm saved this morning for the first time in Jesus' name." And then just put your hand right back down. And I want you to do it with boldness. Jesus was not ashamed to die for us. Don't be ashamed of receiving Him. You ready? When I say three, if that was you and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, get your hand up and put it right back down. One, two, three, go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory. Thank you so much. Amen. 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 Glory be to God. Some more over there? Amen. Yeah, if you saw it, just give it to him. Man, there's lots. Lots of them. All right, look at me, everybody. Listen to me. Gosh. Man, there might have been 10. Now listen. If you got one of those Bibles, and if you didn't, then make sure you get one before you leave. Don't ever be ashamed. If you got a Bible, that just means we want to help you. That means that you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ. When I'm hurting, look at me. When I'm hurting, I need you, because we're family. But when you're hurting, look at all this family you got. We'll help you. Amen. Did you all have a good time this morning? I want you, next week, I want you to bring someone. You're preaching next week, right? I'm going to be in Torrington, Wyoming, y'all. Do not miss church just because I'm gone a week or so. Don't miss church, please. Used to when we first started. When I left, everybody else left. Don't do that. We're way past that. I know I'm your pastor, but God has called me out there. And I'm going to go to Torrington, Wyoming, and I'm going to keep ministering to those cowboys. And then I'll be back. Just for a month or so, it'll be hit and miss. But either Ricky will be preaching, or Howdy will be preaching, or I'll be preaching. So I'm not going to tell you except next Sunday that I'm not going to be preaching, so you'll never know. Okay? Do not look on my Facebook. I love you all very much. Amen. I know it's 12:15, but we don't have a Furs what's that other? Luby's Cafeteria close anyway. So we can't beat the Baptist. Plus, we're 4.5 miles outside of town. So if you just gave your life to Jesus, inside that Bible is a little card. Please fill it out. If y'all new people, it's an honor to have you. I know we're a church. I don't sugarcoat. My dad, y'all got to know, he was born on John Wayne's ranch in Arizona, where I was born, 26 Bar Ranch. So all we know is ranching. And one thing my dad says is, he said, don't sugarcoat this Bible. If it says it, let's believe it. And I'm a fired up little cowboy preacher that is happy that I don't have to die and go to hell. So come back to church. If you don't have a church home, pray about this one being your church home. Amen? If this is not for you, you go find a Bible-believing church so that you can plant in. Amen? We were going to baptize some people, but next week, if you've never been baptized, because so many of you have been saved, you need to get baptized. It's the first act of obedience after you give your life to Jesus. The death, burial, and resurrection. When you go under that water, the old you, you're dying and coming out a brand new person in Christ. So next week, we're going to baptize. So I want you to come find Howdy right now. If you've never been baptized and you just got saved, today or in the last few months, and we're going to baptize, it's going to be warm water. Okay? Maybe. It'll be in here in the trough. We got warm water, I promise. We've got electricity, right, Steve? We do. And they made hot water for us. So it heats it up. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Why don't y'all stand up? Stand up. The Bible says God never leaves us or forsakes us, so He don't get to stay here. He gets to go with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Father, thank you, Lord, for a great time. We take this word seriously, that we have the authority. If we don't know how to take authority over the devil, that's why we come to church to learn. That's why we get around a believer, so we can ask questions. That's why we come to Bible study on Tuesday at 6:30 to fellowship, and then a quick service at 7. We can ask questions during Bible study. So, Father, bless the Bible study on Tuesday, where people want to come and learn about you. Thank you again that this church is still meeting, and we're not going to be stopped, sir. And there will not be an outbreak in this church, because we have the protection of the blood of Jesus, and we rebuke fear. Now, Father, as we go out, all the people that we're around, we have the same protection as we go out if we won't get in fear. So we thank you, Lord, that we remain in faith, and we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for the new people, for the visitors, and for the ones that gave their lives to you. We love you, sir. Until we come back next week or Bible study on Tuesday, You don't stay here. You don't ever leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed.